Welcome to the Men of 8 Gang Podcast, episode 247. I'm Steve Borsch. Welcome to 2014. Hello there, Tim Elliott.
Happy Funky New Year.
And Mr. Flil Wilson.
What, Flil? Who's Flil Wilson?
Who's Flil?
Flil.
Hey, he's Flip's brother.
There you go. Exactly.
Good morning.
And our buddy Graham Thickens is getting ready for his big CES trip.
And he worked a long day yesterday.
Yeah, so he's very, very tired. You know, he needs his beauty sleep.
He needs to sleep in.
That's right. So we gotta cut him some slack. Actually, I'd really like to be going to CES this year. I just can't get there. But it's going to be the year of the connected home. It's all about home automation, Internet of Things, yada yada. No, it really is.
Yada yada.
Yeah.
Blah blah blah.
Blah blah blah. But it should be good. It should be good. So, what'd you guys get for Christmas? Anything exciting?
We've had a show since Christmas, you know.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you didn't talk about gifts. Now that we've had time to play with them and so on.
Nothing gadgety. Yeah, I got all like stuff for cooking.
You know, my wife always falls back on it. I would never buy you something like that because I'd buy the wrong thing. And you end up having to take it back. And yeah, she
gives you cash.
Yeah, she just avoids that sort of thing. So,
well, as long as she didn't give you a Target gift card like we gave a bunch of them. Oh my God. It doesn't work. You know, we got $50 gift cards for some of the kids and in the family and. A bunch of them apparently were not properly activated at the point of sale.
So what's the latest on Target's woes? Anybody? I noticed there's some things in our notes here about the flawed crisis response.
The gift card thing, that's a big deal.
Yeah, that's the biggest story of the week as far as, you know, what's wrong at Target.
Yeah, yeah.
Sweet. The problems continue. So whoever's in charge of their point of sale system or point of service system has got to be floating that resume out because it's not going to be.
But without Target on it?
Long term. Yeah, it's not good.
So why did you leave Target?
Well, you know.
Just decided Christmas? To.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? I mean, look at how important all this stuff is. I mean, forget about the healthcare.gov meltdown and the stuff with going on with Target and all that. Now, Governor Mark Dayton went after IBM because of the Minsure health insurance exchange goof ups. And IBM is going to throw 4,000 employees, or excuse me, 4,000 man hours at the problem for free to fix it. But these systems are becoming so imperative and people's expectations are so high. And then of course, you know, they expect that, you know, they're going to have hundreds of thousands of concurrent sessions and they're running, you know, two servers.
Yeah.
Doesn't exactly cut it, but,
still, not, I mean that the whole thing with the insurance sites is such a great example of taking advantage of inflated government spending. I mean, all of these sites that are having such difficulty cost so much money and they really didn't need to. We sit around at work trying to figure out how would you possibly be able to pad your hours enough
to spend that kind of money.
Yeah. It's just amazing to me.
Well, the initial contract for healthcare.gov, I think it was like $220 million.
What would you spend that on?
Good question. Well, I mean, you know, you got all the states, you got all the, you know, potentially you're going to have millions of concurrent sessions. You got to have all kinds of failover and backup and so forth. I mean, you know, I'm not an architect, IT architect, but my gosh, it's, you know, big stuff.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I still,
a lot of transaction, a lot of users, simultaneous users. I mean, that takes some big iron to make that work. And then you have to scale it. Load level the, you know, over several servers and have that redundant connections to the internet through diverse suppliers and all that good stuff.
Why aren't they just using WordPress at DreamHost? $5 a month.
Well, that's what I was thinking too.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
A simple WordPress site is clearly your answer.
Yeah, exactly. A few widgets on the sidebar and you're good to go.
Good.
A few widgets. No, I think you stepped to Drupal. Clearly, that's
there you go. There you go.
More robust system.
Yeah. You know, speaking of which, I just got to say real quick that do you remember when they, I can't even remember the national CIO's name that came on when Obama got elected, and they had done a Drupal site for whitehouse.gov and all these other Drupal sites, and then they had built a framework for states to use, and then everything sort of vanished. Like nobody talked about it. It wasn't anywhere. You couldn't find the Drupal distributions. And I actually had high hopes that there was going to be a government-led open source framework or set of frameworks that others could leverage, and none of that ever happened.
Nope.
I mean, it's too bad. Too bad. But hey, did you guys see? I think this is a big story, and this may be a little inside baseball for a lot of people listening. But
yeah, and this is. I'll leave it to you guys to talk about this one because I don't have as much background with this.
Well, Dan Carr, who ran the collaborative or runs the collaborative still, which is all about connecting thought leaders and leaders in the business community and with startups and entrepreneurs and so forth. And has all kinds of events, and he was running the collaborative, and he's decided to step down. You know, he's probably fried, but he's gonna move on to some other adventures, unnamed other adventures. Now, have either of you ever met him?
You know, I think I did at one of the events.
I've seen him, but I don't. Well, yes, I think I have met him. We did. I think we did something over at St. Thomas.
Yeah,
he was on a panel there.
Okay. And we met
him,
but this is a story that if Graham were here, he could probably provide a lot of insight to. My question was going to be, you know, what does this say for the state of innovation and startups in Minnesota?
Well, I think what it says is that. Mini Demo, Minnesota Cup, you know, all of the other events are actually gaining traction with the level that innovation is happening, and it's at the startup level more so than I think where the collaborative was targeted, which was more toward the mid-sized startup and mid-market companies up to enterprise. It wasn't the three guys in the garage type of startup. It was the Phil Soren, I'm starting up another major storage company adventure and getting good traction. And, you know, because if you look at the entrepreneurs that were at a lot of the events, Proto Labs, Compellent, Lifetime Fitness, Zyotech, you know, some companies that really already had a lot of traction. Or had leaders that were able to get money pretty quickly and get moving. So, and the events weren't cheap, so it kept a lot of the startups out. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens next.
Yeah.
But
eat it though.
Yeah. So, who were the holiday winners and losers this year?
Well, Best Buy was one of the winners.
I think they've turned the corner. Jolie is really, I think he's doing a great job.
No, well, we had a long discussion yesterday. I had, you remember Lisa Foote? I had a nice discussion with her and, yesterday she had done some consulting work with Best Buy and whereas I've always believed that Best Buy is only successful on the innovation side if they're successful on the retail side. And right now you could argue that they're not spending much time on innovation and doing anything that does not impact retail, but
it's blocking and tackling, right?
It's clearly retail is the focus there now, and which it should be, I think, at least for the short term. It's always good to be innovating somehow, but I think it is a success story from a retail aspect, but not necessarily from that innovation, exploring new markets and, you know, that more intangible stuff that Best Buy was doing, which is probably the best thing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this article in the Strib business section from New Year's Day, we're talking about the winners and losers, and you know, the winners being Thanksgiving shopping and Sony and Microsoft launching new game boxes.
And mobile though is the really
mobile's the big one, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because $8 billion was credited to mobile. And if you dig into that number, most of that was tablets, actually, strangely enough.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot more browsing going on smartphones, but most of the sales are happening on tablets. So, you know, we'll have to keep an eye on that, because, mobile retail is really developing quickly, and it's something that, you know, both Target and Best Buy are participating in, but it's going to be critical, I think, to their long-term success to get good at it. And of the two, I think that actually Target's probably doing more successful work in mobile than Best Buy is.
Really?
Yep.
Well, what I'm amazed by is watching my wife and her sisters use Ebates. And whenever they buy online, they go through the Ebates gateway. And whether they're buying at Target, JCPenney, or, you know, Kohl's or whomever, they go through the gateway and then they get a rebate. You know, sometimes it's 2%. Every once in a while, Kohl's will have a 10% cash back rebate, and it's it can be pretty substantial. So I think that's pretty interesting. But what do you guys think about the $38 Android tablet? Pardon me. That's coming to the U.S. Remember the guy in India that was building these tablets, and this is an Android-based tablet, and he really wanted to kickstart tablet use in education in India, and develop this 800 by 480 screen Ubislate, it's called, and it's going to be $38.
I always kind of fall back on you get what you pay for. So,
well, it's interesting because Tim, you mentioned Micro Center before we started the show, that you'd been there and you bought a fairly inexpensive thumb drive. When I walked into the store before Christmas, they had a $40 tablet sitting there, Android tablet. It was 800 by 600, sitting on a table, and there's a guy standing there, and he was Micro Center employee pitching this tablet. So clearly they bought a ton of them because they had they had stacks of boxes of these little tablets. And I played with it for a few minutes and I thought it's kind of a piece of garbage, but
it's $30 or $40.
Well, so. I mean, yeah, like it's just not a risk. And if you got a kid, it's like, what the hell, get them a $40 right. tablet.
Yeah, I think that's not a bad thing for, a parent to buy a kid for education, but not a school district to buy 3,000 of them.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just, they won't last very long, and management would just be a nightmare, I would think, of something like that.
Yeah.
But $40 tablets, they're going to sell just because of price,
Well,
you could do a lot of things on them. I mean, Android's a very capable operating system and they have a lot of apps and, certainly do web browsing and your mail, and you could buy stuff even online.
You can do all the standard stuff. You want to do Skype, you want to do whatever, the Kindle app, you can do all that stuff on Android. Well, what was interesting, did you guys get bitten by the UPS and FedEx delivery fiasco?
No, I wasn't that far behind this year. So.
Okay. So many people, just for the listener's benefit, so many people ordered at the last minute.
You mean listener.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And UPS and FedEx couldn't keep up with the demand, and they couldn't get the deliveries made. And that was, kind of a black eye for both of them. But that makes me remember this startup, and I don't remember if it was Kickstarter or one of the other ones, and it was all about having a box that would be anchored in front of your house, and UPS and FedEx would have the ability to drop your packages into this box, and so even if you weren't home, your stuff could get delivered.
Yeah, that whole locker thing never really took off. Office Max or Office Depot, one of those office stores, maybe it was Staples, I don't know. And one of the chains was also experimenting with that.
Oh.
And I thought that was kind of a weird thing because you could buy all your office supplies on Amazon and it would show up, say, at Staples if it was there in your Amazon locker. But but that trial never went anywhere either.
Okay.
It's just kind of a weird deal. But one of the things that occurred, you know, to me over the holiday when we were looking at making predictions, one of the ones that didn't make it on my list but I was thinking about is what if Amazon bought Barnes & Noble, the physical side of Barnes & Noble, and then turn those all into Amazon stores where not only could you go in and take a look at Kindles and whatever other Amazon products are there, like, you know, like in an Apple store, but you could also pick up stuff that you've ordered online.
That would act as hundreds or dozens and dozens of distribution centers.
Oh, it would be hundreds of them, right? Probably thousands of them. I don't know.
I don't know how many stores Barnes & Noble.
Just think of what they could do with that. I mean, it would be a tough thing to try to coordinate, but someone like an Amazon could probably do that. And they could have the whole base of their drones sitting there. So they could like dispatch their drones.
Right.
They got to have a base for the drone base someplace.
So Barnes & Noble has 675 stores as of April of 2013.
I just love I love the term dispatch the drones.
That's right. Right. Wilson's, they ordered some dispatch the drones. Dispatch the drone from Burnsville.
Anyway, yes, 627 stores.
That's actually interesting. Yeah.
I thought it was kind of an outlandish thing, so I didn't want to put it on my list, but you never know. I mean, something like that could happen.
Well, so
I think drones will just become expensive skeet. That's what I think. So,
well, I told you about that video about those guys that hadn't, and it was all fake, but they had nets set up between two apartment buildings to catch Amazon drones in mid-flight.
Drone catchers.
Oh God, I thought that was great. So, what's this thing about Best Buy launching?
Just as I was talking about innovation, at Best Buy, backing off on innovation, concentrating on retail success. Then I remember this story about Best Buy launching this Life and Tech magazine in Canada. It's like, there's innovation.
Yeah, they did. Well,
this seems like an odd thing. I'm glad that it's just in Canada because, this seems like a very expensive kind of a thing. And it's not the magazine format itself. I could see that, electronic magazine.
Sure.
Would make a lot of sense. But a printed magazine that goes to the English-speaking parts of Canada.
So they did, 300,000 copies of it or something?
Yeah. It just seems like a weird thing, but,
a little boost to the Canadian lumber industry as well.
Yeah, okay. Well, there you go.
Well, do you remember the site that Best Buy had done that had all the how-to videos?
Yeah.
And they were doing, overviews of CES and all that stuff. Whatever happened to that site?
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
I don't even remember the name of it now, but.
Right. It was sort of like their version of
it. And again, it's just the concentration had to go back to retail. It's like, sell more shit.
Yeah.
this seemed like an odd thing when I saw it in the Business Journal. So.
But that also brings to mind, every year, maybe twice a year, I get this massive catalog from B&H Audio.
You know, so do I, and I've opted out of the catalog because they've got the greatest iPad app I've ever used for e-commerce.
But I don't ever remember opting into it.
If you buy anything, you get it.
Yeah. And it's all of a sudden I'm getting this huge. Why are they still printing this beast? Do people really? I would never sit down and flip through a catalog.
You'd be amazed how many people keep that on their desk.
Wow.
I mean, I got a buddy that buys all his photography and lighting and video stuff from B&H. Well, frankly, most of his electronics from B&H. And,
sure.
Even though he can save a little bit by buying elsewhere.
Yeah, but wouldn't you do better? it, wouldn't it be easier to search it online? Because the whole catalog's got to be online, right? Why would you? Why would you still be printing a paper catalog? I wonder the same thing. I see people at companies that still have the big Staples catalog sitting on their desk, or the Office Max catalog for their business supplies. And they go, there's stuff online for that, right?
Well, a lot of people like the user interface of a printed catalog, though.
The user interface.
I'm serious, you know?
Well, so let me just throw this out, because I thought this was pretty interesting. I had a consulting client just a while back, and we ended up contacting the president of one of Procter & Gamble's in-house marketing groups. And this marketing group has one of the strongest social media, and especially with millennials and Gen X's, but millennials specifically, presences, and they've got, and each one of their millennials has a minimum of 25 active connections. So they have more connections than that, but those are the active ones that they, you know, talk to on a daily basis and so forth. So they're all influencers. And so when he and I were talking, when I was interviewing him, he ended up telling me, the president of this group, he said, I said, so tell me what do you guys do digitally to engage this group? And he said, well, we don't do anything digitally. I said, what? He said, yeah, we actually mail them product. You mean with the U.S. Postal Service? He said, yeah. I said, why do you do that instead of, I mean, the whole point of this is all about being digital and so on and so forth. He said, because shipping them product or mailing them something is different, because nobody does it anymore.
That's true.
It was a point of differentiation, and they were able to get a lot of traction with these influencers. And so I thought that was really, really fascinating. And so, you know, that's what we're experiencing now, is we've gone all digital on our core publication, our core newsletter. Mm-hmm. And we're finding that now that we're digital, people are asking us, members are asking us, you know, rather than have the quarterly or the six times a year, every other month issue of the newsletter, we'd like you to do it monthly digitally, and also make it available in PDF so we can print it. And it's just interesting to see how these things are shifting. And that's why it's weird that they would do a magazine.
It is interesting. But again, the lumber industry's got to stay in business, and the print business is, you know, struggling, and they got to look for business anywhere.
Yeah, they got a lot of trees up there.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Big change over at the Nerdery.
Well, yeah, not what's a big going change, on over there? Now they got a new president, right?
New president now.
Yeah, right? We talked about that last week.
Yeah, that's right. A good story.
There was a good story on that transition from having no president after Luke Buckner died to now having a new president. But the concept of the co-president's culture within the Nerdery is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I'll have to go through that. I haven't read that article yet.
Well, it's the concept of everybody's a co-president. You're not just an employee. Everyone's the co-president. So they didn't really necessarily have a president, and now they do. So who is, and I'm playing, Tom O'Neill is now the new president. So,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's got to be tough for them as they scale too, because they've got how many, couple hundred employees now, or 150.
So I think it's more than
462, according to this article.
Really? Yeah, according to the article, yes. Yeah.
Well, see, how do you scale culture? I mean, that's always, everybody always talks about that as being one of the toughest things to do as you grow, is making sure that the culture stays, because all you need is one Nazi manager to come in and screw up the whole thing. I've seen that happen at companies I've worked for. So,
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see how things go there.
Yeah. Hey, we talked about our buddy Graham going out to CES.
Yes, we did.
And TCB Mag had the article about all the companies from Minnesota, a couple dozen of them, 3M, Amation, Sleep Number, you know, when they're going to have blow-up beds up there, Stratasys for 3D printing, and others. And Graham's former client or sometime client, Canopy,
Oh, that's interesting that because that article that he that we'll have in the show notes and the link is, you know, says that, you know, Canopy is shipping. Well, it's really only shipping to developers right now. So it's not.
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
It's
shipping.
It's in the developer kit.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, they should get some buzz out there. But one of the things that's happened, and hopefully this will continue because one of my predictions is 2014 is the year of Internet of Things. Is are the articles about the Internet of Things and the connected home being the number one theme out at CES and all the products and things that are going to be shown out there? And mm-hmm. it's going to be really interesting to see what the buzz is, you know, during the show.
Yeah, I haven't seen any writing on what to expect there yet. I'll have to look at The Verge or Engadget or whatever and see what they're looking for, because it starts next week, right?
Yep,
it does. Yep. It starts officially, I think, on Monday. Maybe it's Sunday. I'm not sure, but
Speaking of The Verge, did you see the new site that Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher have, the Recode.net site?
Recode, yeah, looks interesting.
No, well, I haven't gone to the site.
What a clutter ass site.
But Steve will be happy it's WordPress.
But boy, that is one cluttered site. There's a shit.
Recode.net.
Recode.net.
And it's a hosted WordPress hosted blog at this point. And it's basically the All Things D staff now out on their own.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's all the same writers, you know.
But is that not just the ugliest site you've seen?
This is not very attractive.
Not good.
It doesn't look good. The writing is good. So I just subscribe to the RSS.
Oh, I'm sure the writing is fine.
Well, all the images all the images are broken right now, except for a couple of ads.
I wait for them to load. It'll take a while, but it'll load.
It takes a while. It's not very optimized, but.
Well, it's not optimized because they've got ad loading.
Yep.
That's not coming through very well.
Yeah, no,
this is not pretty.
But it's slow, I will say.
See, that's the thing about The Verge, is that they ended up leveraging the platform that, who's the parent company of The Verge again?
SB Nation.
Yes.
Vox Media, but it's the SB Nation CMS is what they're using.
Right.
Which has the name. I forgot what they call it. But.
Well, I ended up sending them a note asking them about if they were going to release that as a commercial product. And never heard anything back. I'm sure everybody wants it, but it
the answer is no.
Yeah, the answer is no, probably. But The Verge site is fabulous.
Yes. I agree. You know, I compared the two this morning. I was like, oh my God, this Recode site's awful.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably sparing no expense to, you know, to give you that sort of thing. And you know, The Verge has been around for a couple of years too, so they've had a long time to perfect it.
Yes.
For less than a week.
Recode is, you know, sparing every expense.
So. That's too bad. Well, they'll get there.
We can only hope. We can only hope. Yeah. You know, this whole site still hasn't loaded for me yet.
It hasn't loaded for me either.
It loaded fine for me.
It has.
It was slow, but it still came in.
Interesting. Wow.
But we'll have to keep an eye on those guys because, you know.
That's a cluttered mother, right?
Yee. Too bad. Too bad. Well, okay.
They'll do fine.
Yeah.
I'm sure they'll do just fine. Yes, you're correct. You're correct. So, but also there's with that launch, obviously there's the reintroducing of the Wall Street Journal and what they're doing.
Yeah. So the All Things D became WSJ.D. And its images are broken too. Maybe it's something that I'm doing with Chrome. I don't know.
It's probably a Chrome thing.
Yeah, because it's loading okay for me.
All right. Yep. I've been having issues with Chrome.
I've had issues with Chrome as well. That's just. But anyway. So yeah. So there you go. That's what happens. It's happening in tech press. Whoop-de-doo. So.
Yeah.
Moving on.
All right.
What's interesting though is that All Things D, you know, was its own brand, and you know, you kind of had to look hard to see that it was part of Dow Jones, part of the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And now it's completely integrated back into the Wall Street Journal. There's no All Things D anymore. If you go there, it redirects you to WSJD site, which is inside of Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
And, you know, all things D, all the stuff was free. And now it's sort of, you know, it's a mixture of free and paid content on the Wall Street Journal site.
Well, we'll have to see where that goes.
Well,
interesting.
All right. In the area of the privacy and security.
Here's your security tip of the week. Don't use an iPhone.
Don't use an iPhone.
Please.
Do you have Drop Jeep running on your iPhone now there, Steve?
Yeah, there you go. Did you take a look at that, Steve?
Check to see that?
To see what?
If you got Drop Jeep running in the background?
What no, I don't know how to check it.
Anyway, this is the NSA has a backdoor apparently built into iPhones.
Yes, all iPhones.
And Apple helped them do it.
Apple says they didn't.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
Right.
Well, all I can think about is the Goetze image when I think about the iPhone backdoor, because that's about what they're doing. And no, I'm not going to put a link to Goetze in my show notes.
Please.
But it is very disconcerting. I mean, that's one of the reasons that I haven't jailbroken my iPhone since I did it once back in 2007 or 2008. Because I don't know who any of those people are. And if I'm going to trust anybody, it's going to be Apple. And the thing is, though, you know, whether or not Apple, you know, people are saying, well, no, Apple had to help them. Well, the kicker is that I get a lot of spam from people who are in my address book. And do you remember when Apple, and Android still does this, but do you remember when you could allow apps to have access to your contacts?
Yep.
So once that list was out there, that's it. They started selling it to spammers. And, you know, you download these crappy little flashlight apps or apps that did, you know, police scanners or, you know, all kinds of crap like that. And, you know, a couple of guys from Russia or China that built the app. And you have no idea who these guys are or what they're going to do with your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so it wouldn't surprise me that the NSA built an app that would sit and run in the background. And I have no tools to check processes running. And that's a problem.
Yeah. Well, why don't you make one?
Yeah, right.
The good news
is spare time.
It's only tracking your location, your text messages, and it can turn your phone microphone and camera on.
Yeah, and I'm running Skype, so all my VoIP conversations are grabbed, and yeah.
I was listening to those the other day. They're not really that exciting.
Yeah.
Oh my God! It's just this is so out of control. And you know what the kicker is? The kicker is the pain that it's causing any company in the U.S. trying to sell overseas.
Yeah.
And Cisco and Google and Apple and all these companies are lining up to say, what the hell are you doing? Are you guys insane? You're killing the U.S. in terms of being able to ship overseas. I mean, Brazil started their own router company because they want to get away from buying routers from Cisco because they no longer trust them.
Well, one of the interesting points at the end of one of the articles here is, you know, they just brought that point up and they said, you know, this will kind of kill the move to the cloud because you move to the cloud away from decentralization, it's much easier for all that stuff to be captured by the NSA or anybody, really.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So that's a good point. And, you know, the cloud may get, you know, severely, you know, hurt because, you know, adoption to it because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Reason,
it's very likely.
So, yeah.
Well, and plus the fact, you know, I mean, it's... I mean, who do you trust? And who do you trust with any data? I mean, you take a look at the, you know, the Target breach alone. I mean, you'd think, oh my God, I mean, I can't even trust them to secure my transactions.
I trust you, Steve. How about you open a
security? Right.
Steve Security.
Steve can just have a shitload of Seagate drives loaded up at his house. And we'll store everything there.
Yeah, we could do that.
Well, all kidding aside, though, I think this will help crash plan because, you know, they,
sure,
you can back up to wherever you want. So you could have your own, if you're a company or whatever, you could have your own like hardware. And yeah, they offer, you know, the thing like Dropbox, so you can buy stuff from them. But if you don't want the cloud, you could just use the software and back up to your own hardware.
Right.
So a lot of people, that's probably what they're going to do if they're, especially if they're doing stuff that, you know, they shouldn't, but, you know, if they're just people that are concerned about privacy, or if you're a company that's concerned about, you know, industrial espionage.
Well, that's the biggest concern.
Right. Can you imagine if you're an analyst at the NSA and you got all this raw information, you could like make a lot of money on the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Oh God. Yes, absolutely.
All the M&A stuff and everything. Yeah, man.
Yep. 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 Yep.
Oh, so now I'm just getting depressed. Let's move on.
No, let's apply. Let's apply for a job at the NSA.
Yeah,
let's go to work for the NSA. Come on.
I want to be an analyst there.
Yeah.
Maybe if I worked there, I would have enough money to blow it on a Google Glass. I don't know.
Oh God. Yeah. Did you see Robert Scoble's article?
Yeah. Scoble. Boy, it was long and rambly.
Long.
Yeah, I know.
How unlike Scoble.
Just like he normally does, but he hasn't pulled a long and rambly thing like this in a long time.
Yeah, I pay so little attention to him because I don't think he adds much value to the world, but he does have 4.7 million people.
That is cold.
Say, I know it is. He's a nice
human being. Jeez.
No, I mean, the guy goes wild for everything.
How correct you are. It's still cold.
I know. Well, you know, it's.
I understand. Yeah.
But he does have 4.7 million people have them in his in their circles.
Mm-hmm.
On Google Plus, so
blah blah blah.
He's influential.
Well, yeah. But one of the things that he says in here basically is how come even Googlers aren't using Google Glass and why not? And the article by Matt Honan, who's basically said, hey, I don't wear them to restaurants or bars or anything just because it's.
It's just so, you know, everybody's spending way too much time talking about a technology that is just in its infancy. So let's, you know, lighten up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's lighten up.
It's hard to say anything's doomed when it's in sort of a prototype phase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not doomed. It's just new.
Well, he said Google Glass is doomed and just to get links, you know, to get people linked to it.
Yep.
It is because he says, but Google Glass is doomed. Why do I say that? Because the tech press tells me so.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
he sort of backtracked. I saw him on Tech News Today. What was it? A couple of days ago, he was on. I think Thursday, mm-hmm. And he was talking about this very story, and he's was sort of saying he's kind of trying to stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah.
He doesn't think it's totally doomed, but he thinks that there are problems that need to be addressed. So that's what he was trying to do in this article.
Oh, yeah.
Got it.
Man, Tech News Today.
Robert, thank you for taking care of us and watching out for us, Robert.
I want to talk about a show that I used to watch fairly regularly, at least once or twice a week. Now I probably will not watch it. It's just bad.
What's it called again?
Tech News Today. It's the one that Tom Merritt used to do.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Who does it now?
Mike Elgin and Sarah Lane. But she's quite good, by the way. But he's just terrible.
Well, but he's really, I like Mike Elgin. I think he's really smart.
Nice. He's a nice guy. He's just very stilted. He's, it's just a boring show.
Yeah, he's an analytical, that's why. So he's not a Phil Wilson.
That's right.
Knows how to keep things moving and.
That's right. It's not.
What?
Huh? Seriously, what? Phil, when you did all the video interviews at MEMA, at the MEMA Summit, it was just how fluid you are and how easy
you're
it is
so
for,
kind.
For you he's to got ask questions. And
that's what he's got.
He's what?
He's got the gift of gab.
I've got the gift of gab.
My mom used to say that all the time. She'd say,
spitting vinyl. That's what it is.
But you know what's great, though?
It is. Stacks of wax. What?
What's great though is being able to talk to anybody about anything.
That is fun.
You know,
we do that all the time.
I think. Well, but you know, there are people that you meet that are intellectually curious, and then there are people that aren't. And I love being around people who are intellectually curious. Like, wait a minute, now what do you do? And how does that work? And, oh, that sounds really, you know, and you get into these really great conversations with people, and it can be really fun. And that's how you are when you were, because you're genuinely interested in the people that you're interviewing.
All of us are like that on this, in this group. Otherwise, we wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
But, you know, I think what's really fun is that I think all of us on this, in the show, and here we are, you know, what do you think of us? it's also just about curiosity, not just in tech. I mean, I'm incredibly curious about everything from, you know, planting shrubs to drywalling as I am iPads and Google Glass. Just because there's so much to know out there, that I think that's what leads us to asking more probing questions. But again, we digress. But I think that's important, to be not just curious about one single subject, to be curious about all subjects.
All right. So let me ask you a question. This is a bit of a tangent. But
I can't imagine. You'd never done that before, Steve.
Well, so one of the things that's really cool is I got some brackets for some shades in the living room because one of them had broken. And the company had come out with new brackets. And I looked at these brackets and looked at these, they just ship them to you in a box.
Right.
And I looked at these brackets and I swear to God, I couldn't figure out how to install them. I mean, literally, I'm looking and I'm like, how the hell do you do this? So I go online, I do a quick lookup, and here are three YouTube videos of people who have talked about the new generation
Who knew there was hangers. A new generation of hangers?
Exactly. And they could, you know, I could figure out the old ones, but there were videos, how-to videos showing how they worked. And I go to Instructables often, or there's another one, not eHow. There's another one that has videos, how-to videos. And, I've done toilet repair, you know, in the tank, putting in new parts and stuff.
New ball cack? Did you put in a new ball cack?
Yeah, and because the videos are there, I can do it, right? You look up your toilet model, and then here's videos about how to replace the parts and so forth. Because, you know, I'm really good with a pen and a checkbook. I mean, I can write checks to handymen to do more sophisticated things, but I like to do a lot of stuff myself. And do you spend time, either one of you, do you spend time on any how-to sites about how to do this or how to do that?
Well, sometimes. You know who has really
want to have something to do, yeah.
Funny, funky videos is IKEA. Yeah. You know, the IKEA directions are always pictograms. So, you know, they don't really have...
I think they're simple and easy, yeah.
Right, and most of the times you can figure it out. But I did a reasonably complicated IKEA drapery thing recently. And I looked at the pictograms and it wasn't totally clear. So I looked on YouTube, and IKEA has these crazy videos that are, you know, no one's talking. This, you see people doing stuff, and they have this funny music that reminds you of like a Mario game.
You're kidding.
I didn't know
they did that.
It's hilarious. And I just watched it and I saw, oh, okay, so that's how they did it.
And those Swedes, they're funny.
Yeah, so I mean, they're doing it because they don't have to have any kind of, you know, different language for a different part of the world. They just have, you know, Swedish women putting this thing up, and you watch it. So,
well, Swedish women. What?
Okay, yeah, you guys. Speaking of this, you guys absolutely positively have to go to IkeaHackers.net.
Yeah, that's a good site.
You've been there?
Where they basically take different kits and put them together in different ways. Is that what you're saying?
Or parts.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, I mean, I'll put a link in the show notes because it's really a fun site to go through. So for example, I love the desk that I have, but I wanted to do a stand-up desk, and I can lift my iMac up and put my iMac up. And then I've got a wireless keyboard and mouse and so on. And, so I thought, well, I want to get a stand-up desk, and I could put it over in the corner, et cetera. And instead, I went to IKEA and I bought four of these table legs. I can't remember the model of them, and a shelf, and essentially just screwed the thing together. I mean, drilled you know, four holes for each leg and put the thing together. And I got a stand up desk, and it took me, I think I spent, you know, $35, and it took me probably 45 minutes to put this thing together. And now I got a stand up desk. Yeah. And I can just literally just lift it down in about 2 seconds. I mean, put my iMac down and keyboard and so forth, and it works great. And so, and that's not really an IKEA hack, even though the legs and the shelf are for two different things, but that's the concept of the site. And I love this stuff. Just love this stuff.
Yep.
So
I'm looking at the fake bookcase hide secret cabinet hack.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, what I loved was Ben Edwards showing a video. And for those that don't know Ben Edwards, he's one of the co-founders of Mini Star that does Mini Demo and Mini Bar. And he also co-founded Smart Things and has moved out to the DC area, Washington, DC area. But the house that they had here in Minneapolis, he had a bookcase that you could slide, just swing open, and he had a secret room. And I got to tell you, it's what I want desperately. I wish I would have built one in the house, is to have a secret room. I just think it's awesome.
Very cool. Very cool stuff. Yeah. This will be a time suck. Thanks, Steve.
You're so welcome.
Yeah, a lot of good ideas in that.
And any time, really. So okay. what was the deal on the, who put the link in here about 2013 was a lost year for tech?
I did, because it seemed like it generated a lot of conversation, though.
It did. Absolutely.
It was in Quartz. And then Amalek on his site, he kind of took issue with it. I think there's good points on both sides. I don't think it's a lost year, but innovation, particularly in some of the areas where we've seen like a revolution, like smartphones and tablets and such, really is sort of moving more into the incremental stage where, you know, things are kind of very slight improvements year to year. And there really hasn't been the next big thing yet. So that was sort of what the gist of what they were trying to get at.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I, as I've joked many times, when Apple introduces something new or Google introduces something new and everyone seems to be disappointed, it's like, oh yeah, if they would have, you know, introduced a holodeck or a replicator, you'd probably be happy for a month. And then it's like, okay, so now what's next? You know, is warp drive coming next? You know, people get disappointed.
Wait a minute. What? Wait a minute. I hear it coming.
What?
I thought you were going to say the word holodeck again. I'm sorry.
I did say holodeck.
Did you?
Yeah, you were looking at IKEA hackers, weren't you?
You didn't say holodeck.
He did.
I did. Holodeck and replicator. Yeah.
Replicator, you did. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
My apologies. I must have nodded off there.
Did you go out to Colorado and pick up your pot? Is that terrible. What happened?
That's terrible. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Jeez, I apologize for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, see, everybody's screaming at their iPod now, saying, "What the heck, Wilson? Aren't you listening at all?"
Yeah.
Oops, I apologize, guys.
Did you think it was a lost year in tech, Phil?
No. It's never a lost year in tech. You know, sometimes you don't get the big marquee events, but still there's a lot of great stuff still going on. I mean, we talked about things like Google Glass, and we talked about, we've talked about iBeacon and sensors and wearables and Internet of Things. And how can you say it's a lost year in tech? There's all sorts of crap going on.
Well, because none of those things really developed into much. You know, the whole wearables thing really has not taken off at all. And all the products that have come out have been failures, basically.
Okay, so now I'm going to harken back to that Louis C.K. bit. It's, you know, a plane, you give a bitch about the plane because it, you know, it's taking too long to get seated or get boarded. Flying chair, for God's sake.
Or to use Wi-Fi. Well, the Wi-Fi's out. Oh, jeez.
Give it a minute.
Oh, man.
Good God.
Yeah, true. Well, but, you know, I'll come back to what we've talked about before, especially in the summer, this past summer, is how every week there's stuff going on. And I remember when we first started the podcast about how it seemed to be, I'd say almost every week we struggled to come up with stuff to talk about because there just wasn't enough going on. And now it's accelerated so dramatically that literally every week something's happening.
And we're looking harder too.
Right.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, that could be. Well, what events are coming up, boys? Anything interesting?
That MHTA, the Institute of Arts event.
On the 9th. Yeah, that actually looks pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But what about this beta.mn inaugural startup event? I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah, I think Graham must have put this in because I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not even heard about this.
Well, it says that the events are designed to bring attention to the area's undiscovered up-and-comers. So the startups demo their ideas in an accessible one-to-one format, a lot like a science fair, but with more booze. I actually like this as an idea where you can just throw your stuff on a table and just stand there and people can come around and talk to you.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good work if you can get it.
Yeah. And then on the 12th, the STEM Expo at the Minneapolis Public Schools, when they're accepting sponsors and exhibitors for that. So if you want to get
in front of... Suppose in Colorado, they now have STEM and Seed Expo.
Yuck, yuck. Yeah,
come probably, on. Probably. Marijuana humor is always a good go-to. Sorry.
And since you're on, there's something going on in March.
Yeah, mobile March. Something.
Yeah.
Is this mobile thing? I don't know if it's going to take off. What do you think?
I don't know. Well, it's been a dead year in mobile. So.
Yeah, it's been a lost year, right?
It's been a lost. Baloney. Yeah, there's lots going on. So Mobile March is on the 20th. Tickets are now on sale. Your early bird rate of $85. So not a bad deal for a full day of mobile talk. And we're introducing a track on connected devices and hardware, which is, a little less mobile centric, but very much dependent on mobile control. So
yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. So I'm pretty excited about that. We've got some good stuff coming on. This week also, guys, I wanted to share, I got my Spark Cord this week, my kit.
Really?
So I got that. I haven't had a chance to spend any time with it yet, but I'm very excited about that.
And what came in the kit, by the way?
Well, I have a kit with a bunch of different cards and all sorts of things. So you can get, there was various levels of kits. So this is a developer kit, and I'm really kind of looking forward to it. There's lots of wires and stuff, so I'm pretty excited.
Yeah.
Cool. And then I also bought the MacBook Pro 15-inch Retina display, and I'm so excited about playing with that.
Wow.
So.
Excellent.
What did you guys get this week?
Well, I got...
I got a new kitchen knife. It's really sharp.
I got an IOSafe. Or I said that, didn't I, about the IOSafe? Yeah, we talked about that.
Right, yeah.
So that's about the only thing. I got a phone call from Phil while I was on the treadmill telling me about the MacBook Pro 15 inch.
Yeah, I win. Yay. I outgeeked everybody. Yay.
Oh, man.
You did.
Yeah. But what, we've got now the kids also have an extra day off from school next week.
Yeah, Governor Dayton stepping in there.
Stepping in, saying, don't go outside. It's cold.
It's going to be cold outside.
Well, back in our day, we'd walk to school bare feet in snowdrifts 8 feet deep.
Well, my son works at Costco, and by the time he gets off, it'll be minus 18.
Today, and, you mean?
No, Sunday night.
On Sunday night.
Sunday night. And he works today. It won't be bad today. Tomorrow he'll work and he's outside doing carts. And up on top of the hill, the Costco in Eden Prairie, it gets all this wind. Mm-hmm. So the 35 to 50 below wind chills are probably going to be, 45 to 70. It's just going to be brutal. Oh, my God.
But are we sure it's going to be?
Oh, I yeah. Oh,
Governor Dayton's sure. That's for sure.
Well, so are all the meteorologists. They're saying for sure.
That'd be funny if it was like, zero or something. It wasn't 20 below or whatever they're predicting.
Yeah.
It's, that would still be cold, but I'm just saying.
Well, the thing that I loved was somebody on my Facebook newsfeed. Oh, it was my daughter. Said compared
somebody on my Facebook newsfeed. Oh, my daughter.
My daughter. Well, what she put was an article about the comparison between the fact that it's colder in northern Minnesota than it is on Mars right now. So,
really,
is that
true?
Yeah, that's what the article said. I'll put a link in the show notes and you can read it.
Somebody got a thermometer on Mars?
Northern Minnesota temperatures sink below temps on Mars.
I always thought the weather on Mars was like what they say in Rocket Man. You know, it's cold as heck up there. But apparently it's colder in Minnesota.
No. It's cold as hell. It's not cold as heck. Well, you got nephews in the room or something there? Or
that's right.
I'm not going to say the word. H-E double hockey sticks.
Oh, my God.
It's colder in Minnesota than on hell, apparently.
Wow.
Well, there you go.
Well,
weather? You know, usually we get really, really cold, maybe a week, maybe 10 days, something like that, every winter. This winter has been brutal so far.
Yeah.
And it's not even in the part where it normally is brutal. So, I don't know.
Well, I suppose we could move.
It's a global warming. That's probably what it is.
Well, climate change is supposed to shift weather patterns, including the jet stream, and that's exactly what's happening.
Sure.
So,
okay.
Scary stuff.
I'm still skeptic.
Okay.
So this is good. You've linked us to a radio station website.
I know.
News story.
Yeah, but it's from Duluth. They're from Duluth, so.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, listen. Even though, 2013 may have been a dead year in tech, we know 2014's not. So there's going to be a whole nother week of fun stuff, and we'll talk about it next week on
the Minivade Gang Podcast. Thanks, everybody.
Have a good week.
Take care.